The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So many feasts on this Divine Mercy Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, St. Joseph the Worker Day on May 1st, the beatification of our beloved John Paul II. Wow. Where to start? With the scriptures. Always a good spot. Divine Mercy Sunday and the reading of Thomas, the slow to believe, doubting Thomas, I think go together very well. Let's take a look at this reading from John's Gospel. The first is, they were in hiding, right? And Thomas was courageous enough to go for the takeout. I'm sure that's where he was. He was out serving his community by bringing them a meal. Or he was off in a corner crying by himself that his best friend, Jesus, had been crucified. We don't know, but he wasn't there. So the first lesson is, don't absent yourself from the community. Because when the community of God gathers, amazing things happen. And wouldn't it be a bummer if you weren't there? The second is, I think Thomas was speaking for all of us. I'd like some tangible proof, Lord. Right? I want to touch you. I want to enter deeply into that relationship because, you know, they palled around, right? The fishing boats that they have aren't very big, right? I mean, like 20 feet is a really big fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee. Imagine 12 big guys on a 20-foot skiff. They're bumping into each other, right? There's no space. And imagine Jesus taking up the whole stern, sleeping on a cushion, right? This is just great things to enter into the scriptures and kind of see what's going on. And we can learn a lot from that. When Jesus shows up, he says, peace be with you. Fostering the peace of Jesus should be our lifelong goal. And I've preached at other times on the shalom of God, right? That the peace that Jesus gives isn't just like an absence from strife, which would be a lot. It's more. It's right relationship with God. It's right relationship with yourself, right? Recognizing yourself as beloved of God, made in the image and likeness of God, as perfect, right? If God wanted me to be different, at a different time, with different talents and abilities and inabilities, I would be, because God can do that, right? So being right with myself, just as I am, is a huge gift of the peace, the shalom of Jesus. Having that right relationship with God and myself, I can then have right relationship with all of you. And not just the neighbors I can see, but the global neighbors, right? The world over. And it extends even to creation itself. The Jewish understanding of shalom is that you might have right relationship with all of God's creation. It's a beautiful image. And this is what Jesus says when he shows up. He says, shalom. And they kind of breathe a little easier, right? The one who was crucified has given them a reason to have peace. Anybody want that peace? I do. I want that peace badly. What am I going to do to get it? Well, I'm going to show up to places where Jesus is likely to show up, right? Where a community gathers. And then he does this amazing thing. Jesus says, touch me. Look, I'm resurrected, but the wounds have left a mark. Anybody have something in their life that's left a mark? A physical mark, an emotional mark, right? We're all marked up. But the difference is, after the resurrection, those marks might remain, but now they're signs of God's glory. Right? The wounds of Christ are not signs of suffering, but signs of God's glory and ability to turn tragedy into joy. That's huge. And Jesus said, touch me here, where the world tried to hurt me deepest, because these are the places you're going to find the most glory. So run towards your brokenness, people. Don't deny it. Run right at it. Because Jesus wants to set you free right there. When you're feeling depressed and lonely, run deeper into it that you might find Christ in the center of that. It's amazing. What did Moses do to heal the people from the seraph serpents? Take a pole, make a bronze serpent, put it on the pole, raise it up, and anyone who looks at that which just bit them will be cured. Do you see where I'm going with this? Right? When we take a look at that which is biting us, destroying our lives, that's when the healing comes about. When we deny it, when we hide from it, when we pretend I don't have an issue, we get into serious trouble. Right? Because we fail to meet Jesus where he most wants to heal us. He didn't heal the blind man of his alcoholism, right? He healed the blind man of his blindness, because that's what was ailing him. Now, this next part is probably going to be a struggle for everyone here. It's certainly a struggle for me. Jesus says, peace be with you, and then he breathes the Holy Spirit on him, right? We had that at our confirmation, the breath of the Holy Spirit upon us. And then he says these things. Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained. Who does this apply to? Priests. It doesn't say that, but close. I have that role in absolving sins. It's one of the reasons I'm ordained. The other one is to celebrate the Eucharist. Apostles, bishops, cardinals, popes, yes. How about all of you? Wasn't the Holy Spirit breathed on you at confirmation? You received this gift, very specifically, to have the ability to forgive sins. Anybody been sinned against? Yeah. Had awful things happen to you? Absolutely. I mean, get in line, right? We could all tell horrible stories of all the awful things that have happened to us. And where would we be in our huge pity party? Nowhere. What does Jesus want us to do? Let it go. There's only one just judge, and that's God. And since I'm not God, I have no ability to judge. None. I don't judge when I hear confessions, and I certainly don't judge when people have injured me. My response is to forgive. Right? While John Paul II, our beloved Pope, was lying in the hospital after the attempted assassination, I forgot, I was reading up on it, he was shot 6 times. Yeah. Hand, arm, abdominal, cavity, near his heart. Right? He's got lots of reasons to believe that it was a miracle that he's alive. It was only 2 years after his consecration as Pope in 1981. Imagine, he didn't die till 2001. That was a lot of ministry that would have been missed out on. And he blames Mary for keeping him alive, or thanks her, right? Well, if you're so in love with Jesus, what are we doing here? Right? I want to go to heaven, Lord. But whatever your will is, right? If I have to stick around for another 80 years, maybe 122, I will. If that be your will. John Paul II saw that as a sign that he had to get busy about creating a culture that learned to forgive. And so what he did, while he's lying in the hospital, just 3 days after coming out of surgery, he writes a message to be proclaimed, and he says, please pray for my would-be assassin. I have already forgiven him, and I ask you to do that as well. Yeah, but that's the habit of holy people, right? That's just the habit of holy people. Gandhi, as he fell to the ground, made the sign of forgiveness to his assassin. Now, how could these great people do this? Right? Because they're great holy people that are way beyond us? No. They can do it because they practiced it in small ways every day so that it was a natural habit. Right? If my natural habit is to swear, when I stub my toe, what comes out of my mouth? A blessing. No, of course not. Right? A swear word. All right, so I need to change that habit so that my natural habit is to give a blessing. So that when I stub my toe, I'm like, blessed stare. Blessed stare that brings me such a connection with my incarnational reality, and my nervous system is just lit up. Right? We need to develop new habits in small ways. And if that habit to forgive has been left behind in your life, if you're really good at carrying burdens and hurts and injuries and I got to cross the street because so-and-so's over there and I can't stand to be in their presence, well, then maybe you need to start working on learning to forgive. Now, you have the ability. It's been given to you through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lacks nothing. Therefore, you lack nothing. People have come to me in spiritual direction and say, Father, I just can't forgive my ex or my whatever. And I'm like, that's because you don't want to. And they look at me with this shock horror on their face. Stunned. And they go, you know, you're right. I'm like, well, you'll be able to forgive them when you eventually want to. When allowing them to live an abundant life is more important than being angry over all the hurt and suffering. But right now, you're just giving them free rent in your head, right? They're long gone. They've moved on to other things. That's probably why you're angry. And left you here. And eventually, they get it, right? So we need to learn to experience God's mercy. Now Thomas, who was out getting the groceries, missed out on this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? He was like still lost in that darkness of the death of his beloved friend. And so when he comes in and everyone's having this huge rambunctious party because the Lord had just been there, he's like, I don't believe any of you. I want tangible proof. I need to touch Jesus. Right? And so we have the Eucharist. Every Sunday or every day, if you desire, Jesus gives us his very self, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist that we might touch him, just as Thomas desired to touch him. Right? So if you're wondering about your faith, gather with other Christians. Pray. Let the Holy Spirit come upon you. Learn to forgive, because John Paul II wrote that the lack of forgiveness, an inability to forgive, stifles the work of the Holy Spirit in your life more than anything else. It's the number one lack of charity. Now, if we're struggling on how to be merciful, look up the Corporal Works of Mercy. Excellent way to live out Matthew 25, verse 40. Or the Spiritual Works of Mercy, right? We have these traditions. They're really old, way older than the Feast of Divine Mercy. But Jesus, in 1931, said, you know, you guys just aren't getting it. Will you please learn to be merciful to one another as I have been merciful to you? We have that witness in Jesus' response to Thomas. If I had just been resurrected and out busy, you know, like telling the world I'm alive, look, Mom, here I am. And I've got one of my best friends who doesn't believe I'm resurrected, do you think I might be a little ticked off? Easily, right? I'm human. He says to Thomas, come, touch me. Put your hand in my side. Whatever you need to believe, I will give you. Whatever you need. Might we be as merciful with our friends and family members, with ourselves, when we struggle with faith, or we struggle with one another. Whatever you need, Thomas, I will give you, that you might believe. And now, go and share that to the ends of the earth.